Are you living in any kind of unforgiveness against yourself or against these people that have hurt you so bad? Okay? And if you are, you need to ask yourself this question. Do I want to continue to get the results that I'm getting in my heart? Cameron, you sound like you're a panic attack. Every email I've ever gotten, every comment from you, it's all panicky. It's all emotion. The devil's going to get me. I'm going to hell tonight. My life is over. It doesn't count for anything. I can't get this pain to stop. I can't get these thoughts to stop. I can't concentrate. It's all very panicky. You sound like you're completely out of control and you're being tormented, it sounds like, by demons, perhaps. Okay, even if they're not inside of you as in possession, Matthew 18, 21 through 35 says, unless you forgive your brother from your heart, he'll turn you over to the tormentors to be tormented until you should pay back all that you owe. And that means until you get right with God. Hello, Cameron. This is Michael. I'm going to send you a book today, young man. And I hope you get it within just a few days. But I was praying for you this morning, just like you asked. And I want to ask you just a couple of questions. Number one, do you think there's any possibility that you might be either possessed by an evil spirit or being really tormented by an evil spirit? Have you ever had any experience with the occult, a Ouija board, psychics, astrology, hand reading, palm reading, tarot cards, anything like that? Have you ever played any like demonic type video games, Dungeons and Dragons, and kind of weird things like that? Have you ever been involved in any New Age stuff? Have you ever seen any manifestations of evil spirits around you? There's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, throughout the Bible, there were many, even young children, who were possessed of demons, and they needed Jesus' help to be free. So have you ever had, I wonder if you've had any sense that you could be perhaps possessed by an evil spirit? So first, that's the first question. And I've already prayed that if you are, that it would be gone in the name of Jesus. In fact, as you listen to this, Satan, you were defeated on the cross of Christ, and I, in love by the blood of Jesus Christ, I stand in the gap between you and heaven and the Lord Jesus Christ for Brother Cameron. And I tell you to leave your hands off of him. And if there's any evil spirits in him, for you to be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You surely know who I am. I'm a God-fearing, Holy Spirit-filled man of God, and I command you, if you are living in, around, inside, if you've taken possession of Cameron without God's permission, you are to be gone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gone. Cameron, I've prayed for you. I've also, as I was praying for your health, this subject of forgiveness keeps coming to my heart, and I know you've been hurt. Okay, look. Cameron, all of us have been hurt. One thing I want to do is to shake you up a little bit and let you know that what you and I think that we have experienced is pain here in the United States. And that's not to take anything away that what you've been through is bad. But my friend, I lived in India last year, and I can guarantee you I could show you many, many people and show you their lives, and you would beg to have the life that you've had versus the life that they have. So there's many, many people that have had it so much worse than you, okay? I mean, just take, for example, let me help you understand this. And I'm not telling you this to disrespect you or to disrespect what you've been through. I know it's painful, but what I want you to know is that you can get through this with God's help, and that many people that have gone through worse than you have, okay, can get through it, all right? A lot worse. My wife is a perfect example. My wife grew up, she was born in a poor Indian village on a dirt floor, okay, in a literal village. And my wife grew up so poor that you can't even imagine what that poverty is. If you're living inside the United States, you don't really even have a clue. You and I don't, we don't understand what real poverty is until you go into like a third world country like India. And India is the poorest country in the whole world. One third of all the poor people in the world live there. So let me just give you an example. So my wife grew up with four other siblings. She's one of five children. She's in the middle. And when she was 7 years old, She was so miserable with her life and the fact that she could not get any love from her dad or her mom. She was never told, I love you ever by any human being. She was never given a hug or a kiss by any human being. None. When she was 6 years old, she tried to kiss her mom on the cheek and hoped, because she felt this love for her mom, that her mom would reciprocate. And she kissed her mom on the cheek and her mom dismissed it, because in that culture, you don't do that kind of thing. You don't show each other love like that. It's considered a sin. Okay. It's crazy. Now, some parents do to their children, it's more acceptable, but love is something that is really looked down upon, the kind of love that we have here. Okay. So she was not able to have any way of expressing this desire for love. She never had a single toy in her entire life, Cameron. Not a single toy. Okay. She had two outfits that she could wear. One was for school and one was for play. She slept on the ground in a house that was exposed and open, you know, very much handmade house with a thatch roof. The roof on her house that she grew up in was made with leaves, thatch leaf. Okay. When it would rain, they would have to put little buckets. The house was the size of our kitchen that I'm standing in right now. Our kitchen that Persis and I have is bigger than the house that her dad, her mom, and her five or four, you know, siblings lived in together. Seven people in this tiny, tiny, tiny little house. You can't even imagine. And when it would rain, water would come in. They'd have to put up little clay jars, okay, to catch the water. In the summertime, when the water was low, they didn't have any running water, by the way. She had no running water until she was 17 years old. She had no toilet. She had no electricity until she was 13 years old. Until she was 13 years old, she lived by oil lamp. So when they would go to bed at night, or at nighttime at all, when there was no light, they would have little oil lamps in their house that they would have to light. Every single morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, her mom would wake up and start heading to where they would collect the water for the day. And her mom would stand in line for about 2 hours, because if you didn't stand in line, you would miss your day's water, and you can't live without water very well. So her mom would run ahead and stand in line for about 2 hours to ensure a place. And then the kids would get up at about 6 o'clock in the morning and grab all their buckets, and they would go and meet their mom in the line. And they would have to carry these 40 plus pound. My wife, as a little tiny 9, 8, 10, 12 year old girl, would be carrying these 40 pound plus buckets. When I met my wife, she could pick me up and carry me around the house. I weigh 170 pounds. I'm not very big, but I'm 170 pounds, and Persis could pick me up, and I would see her carrying these heavy buckets of water around our house like they were nothing. She's a little girl. She was so strong from carrying all that water all those years. This happened every morning. They would have to go and fetch the water. Okay. She could only take a bath twice a week, and God kept them from stinking. They didn't have enough water to take more than a bath twice a week. She sat all alone many, 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 many times at school. For 5 years in school, Cameron, she sat on concrete floor, on rock, not even concrete, on rock. No chairs, no tables. For 5 years, she sat on rock while she was going to school. If you look at my wife's outside ankle, you can see dark skin that became very calloused from all the years of her sitting on the ground like that. Okay. When the summertime and the water would be low, she would find herself dipping into their water jars and having to dip around mosquito larvae to get a clean glass of water. In order to go to the bathroom, Cameron, my wife would have to go out and poop in a field in front of other people, where men would try to watch the little girls or the women go into the bathroom. The public bathroom they had was so absolutely horrific, stinky smelling, okay, that she would never use it. And if she had to, by an emergency, men would stand on the top of the terrace looking down at the little girls while they were going to the bathroom. My wife would be sent out in the field to get firewood. They don't have very many trees in India, so it's mostly weeds and sticks. And she would be sent out to go get firewood, and she loved it because it was a way for her to get out, but it was so painful because the firewood had thorns and where she'd have to go. And sometimes she would get thorns in her legs so bad, she would have to go to the doctor to get shots. This was all just so she could survive. Okay. There was a man who would bring cows by their house, their little tiny poor house in this little neighborhood they lived in. And those cows would poop on the ground. Well, they used poop for fuel, the cow manure. So my wife, as a young child, her and her brothers and sister, her brother and sisters would run with baskets, like basket bowl type thing. And they would wait for the cow to lift his tail and they would stick the bucket underneath and catch the cow's poop in order to use it for fuel. Okay. Are you getting the sense that maybe you haven't had it as bad as you thought you had yet? Okay. Can you imagine if your whole life, every time you had to go to the bathroom, you had to go find a field and you had to do it in front of other people? Imagine in the middle of the night, you have to get up, you have to walk into a field to go to the bathroom. At 11 years old, she had been beaten 2 years earlier, twice, 2 years in a row, by her school teacher. They get beat if they don't do their schoolwork properly, and it's legal. The teachers have the ability to literally be so mean. They would take your hand, hold it by the wrist where your wrist is all flippy floppy, and they would smack your knuckles and crack them against the desk over and over again until you were just in so much pain you couldn't stand it. My wife was picked up by her ears by a school teacher, smacked across her face, hit with a plastic pipe. And one time she got so afraid at 11 years old in the class, while she was waiting in line for her turn to be beat by the school teacher, she urinated on herself. At 11 years old. Okay? There are people that live in this world in ways that you do not understand. There's people that have it so much worse. Every single place she went was a threat to her life. When she was 7 years old, she wrote on the table, "Pavani is dead." That's my wife's Indian given name, Pavani. And she wrote that on the table. Pavani is dead. She wanted to die. She could not get any love, any sense of feeling at all. At 7 years old, she was ready to kill herself. Her dad saw it and didn't even say anything to her. Her dad never spoke a word to her outside of commanding her to go get alcohol so that he could drink himself to death, which he ended up doing when he was 12. When she was 12 years old, her dad died of alcoholism. And now her single parent mom, a widow, was left to try to provide in a very hostile environment, in a very poor place, for these five children. Well, see, in India, you become like a gazelle to the lions now. You're a single mom and you have four daughters. In order for women to get married in India, they have to have what's called a dowry. The dad has to have saved up money so that he can buy a husband for the wife, basically. Okay? She doesn't have enough money. She's now feeling like a burden. Her mom's having to provide all this food and all this for five children all by herself. Meanwhile, all the neighbors are preying on them like they are prey, literally wild prey. And saying, "We're going to get you," and doing horrible things to the family and trying to, you just can't even imagine having to live in fear every single day, because even your own neighbors are looking for ways to take advantage of you, to hurt you, to hurt your girls, to say you're not going to make it, to get you to submit to them. They live like animals in some of these villages. You can't believe what people do to one another. Okay? Horrible stuff. All kinds of other things that I won't even tell you. But God gave her grace. And my wife has turned out to be an amazing example for people who've gone through tremendous suffering, that God provided for them in that. All that abuse, everywhere she went feeling afraid, God watched over and protected her. No matter what anybody was able to do to her, God was preserving and protecting her. Now, she walked in the fear of the Lord. She was doing what's right. She wasn't trying to mess around with boys, and she wasn't trying to mess around with lying, cheating, stealing, hurting other people. She wanted to be a godly girl, and she wanted to be a rule follower. So the problem for her ended up being, even though she was doing good, she was trying to follow the rules like Moses being, or rather trying to follow the law of Moses without having an internal righteousness in her heart. And so the day came when she felt like she had been following all the rules. She started looking down on other people who weren't following the rules as well as she is. So God had a whole bunch of lessons in this thing for her to finally bring her to the place where she would realize her righteousness came from Jesus. But she wasn't doing things to hurt other people. She wasn't living in unforgiveness. And that's one thing that I want to ask you about. Are you living in any kind of unforgiveness against yourself or against these people that have hurt you so bad? Okay? And if you are, you need to ask yourself this question. Do I want to continue to get the results that I'm getting in my heart? Cameron, you sound like you're a panic attack. Every email I've ever gotten, every comment from you, it's all panicky. It's all emotion. The devil's going to get me. I'm going to hell tonight. My life is over. It doesn't count for anything. I can't get this pain to stop. I can't get these thoughts to stop. I can't concentrate. It's all very panicky. You sound like you're completely out of control and you're being tormented, it sounds like, by demons, perhaps. Okay, even if they're not inside of you as in possession, Matthew 18, 21 through 35 says, unless you forgive your brother from your heart, he'll turn you over to the tormentors to be tormented until you should pay back all that you owe. And that means until you get right with God. So if you want to be forgiven of your sins, you have to forgive those who've sinned against you. No matter how it felt, no matter how wrong it was, it's the same thing with God. God forgives you no matter what you did, no matter how big it was, no matter how bad it felt to him. God forgives you unconditionally when you, in faith, confess your sin and you repent and turn from it. You stop doing it. And then he forgives you. But then what happens is when other people hurt us, we don't want to forgive them that quickly. We want to say, no, you can't just expect me to forgive somebody that quick. I mean, you don't have any idea what they did to me. See, this is evil. It's absolute evil. It's when it's making myself God. It's me saying, God, no, I know better. I'm going to hold this person for justice. They did this to me. It was horrible. It was wrong. I have justification to not withhold or to withhold forgiveness from them. I'm not going to do good to them. I'm going to treat them wrong. They need to be paid back for what they did to me. And I hope horrible things happen to them so they can learn their lesson. Now, God cannot forgive a person who believes like that, who thinks like that. So Cameron, if you're thinking like that and you haven't forgiven these people that have abused you, you got to forgive them. I mean, I was abused. I was sexually abused by both sexes, not just a man and a woman, but both. I was physically beat up by bullies right in front of my mother. I was abandoned and rejected by virtually every single person who was supposed to love me. All my aunts and uncles, my grandparents, they abandoned me. My dad abandoned me. Birth father abandoned me. So I know pain. I know rejection. I know emotional abuse. I know all that kind of stuff. I know it can be hurtful. I was chased home for 3 years almost by bullies. Cameron, tormented on and off. It wasn't every single day, but it was over a 3-year period. They just did not let me go. So I know what all that's like. Okay. But I forgave all of those that hurt me. And that is the foundation of life in Christ. You will not get healing. You'll not get peace in your heart. You'll not know the rest of God. You'll not know the presence of God until you get right with God. And until you forgive those who've hurt you, you will not be right with God. And brother, it doesn't matter if I pray every day from now until the day I go home for you, it will account for nothing. It will mean nothing because you are the one who's in charge of forgiving. It's a choice you can make. I can't make it for you and I can't pray for God to make it for you. You have a choice. You can allow the devil to harden your heart. You can allow them to say, but you don't know what they did to me and I'm going to hold on to it. Or you can say, you know something? They don't fully understand what they did to me because if they knew how much God despises and hates and punishes the wickedness of what those people did to me, if they truly knew how God feels about what they did to me and how God is going to punish those who do those kind of things that don't repent, they would have never done it. They're spiritually blind. The people that hurt me, the people that hurt my wife, the people that hurt you, they're spiritually blind, Cameron. Okay? You don't want to let their spiritual blindness become your spiritual blindness. And what I mean by that is they're blind in the sense that, like I say, they cannot understand from God's perspective what they've done to you and how evil it is. Hurt people hurt people. If you stay hurt like you're doing right now, let me just tell you this. You're going to hurt other people. If you don't get the Spirit of God to put down the monster that's been created in your heart, you're the kind of person who could end up, okay, like a Dylan Klebold or whatever that kid's name was. He was so hurt, and him and his buddy were, I bet they were abused and all that kind of stuff. And they went out and shot up all those kids at Columbine High School and killed them. Hurt people hurt other people. That's why you have to come to Jesus, forgive those other people, and then what he'll do is he will give you a peace in your heart that will come as you wait upon him. You won't live in that torment of, I can't believe they did this to me. I want to pay them back. I can't stand seeing their face. I hope something bad happens to them. You won't have to live feeling like that anymore. God can give you total peace, but it starts with, okay, answering this question. Listen to this. Everything I've said comes down to this. Do you want God's forgiveness and love in your life? The answer is yes, right? Or you wouldn't be trying to send all these comments and emails to people like me. Then you have to give that kind of love and forgiveness to others. That it's that simple. And you say, but Mike, I can't. It's so hard. You don't know what they did. God will help you. When he sees that you genuinely want to forgive somebody, that is showing love. The same love that God shows you. You don't deserve to be saved. You don't deserve heaven. You deserve hell, Cameron. Guess what? All of us do. We are all criminals, guilty. Even the best among us are guilty because we rebel against God and against his authority, and we don't want to submit our lives to the control of the one who made it. Imagine you built a remote control car for yourself. You got real smart and you figured out how to make a remote control car, but every time you turned it on, it just automatically started driving and went wherever it wanted. It never responded to the radio transmitter that you made. How would you feel about that car that you made? It was a complete waste of time. It's a rebellious car. It's worthless. It provides no pleasure to you. And you get mad at this car because it just keeps going everywhere. Well, that's exactly what the best among us have done. And that makes us guilty. So you don't deserve anything. And that's how much God loves us, that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Ask God to help you see. It sounds like you already see your sin, okay? And he's allowing you to see all these horrible things happening in your heart, in your mind, in your emotions. You have no peace whatsoever. You're right? You're just terrified every single day. It's a horrible way to live. Absolutely horrible. You live a life of torment, okay? I've been there. You got to trade it up. Get rid of it. Forgiveness. Forgive yourself. If you've done anything stupid, ask God, confess it, forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you for withholding forgiveness from other people, if that's the case. All right? This is big. And the Bible says you can't just do it in your head. You have to do it from your heart. Jesus said, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 through 15, if you don't forgive a man when he sins against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you of your sins. So I just wonder if you may be struggling with that. That's the big thing. When you go through the John 7, 17 challenge, all of this is in there. All of the obstacles to following Jesus are all in there. All the things that keep people from being able to do it. And look, I can't do this for you. You're 15 years old. You know how to read and you have a Bible and you know how to speak. You have something that the people in the early church didn't have. They didn't have the full revealed will of God in this book called the Bible. You have it. You have tons of resources. They didn't have YouTube videos to listen to and be encouraged. But listen, you keep listening and you listening. And if you notice, it's not making a difference to your heart. I think it's probably been at least 6 months or more. I don't know. I can't keep track with all the people that contact me, but it's been over 6 months, I think, since you probably first contacted me. And it sounds like nothing has changed, Cameron, right? Even no matter how much you listen, you're trying to listen to my videos to get comfort, and it's not going past your head. It's temporary. It's like taking a pill for a headache. It doesn't get to the source. It just numbs the pain. You have to deal with your heart before God. And I really believe yours is probably issues of forgiveness. And the devil's got you all bound up and focused on what all people did to you and how you were so abused and so this and so that and the other. And what happens is he creates a sense of self-pity. We start to feel sorry for ourselves. That's why I wish I could take you to India for 2 weeks. Cameron, you would have your head spinning. If I took you to India and if I could just have 3 days with you in India, it would change your life. You would never feel sorry for yourself another second. You would go back to all those people that abused you and you would give them a kiss on the cheek and you'd say, I want to thank you. God used you in my life in a powerful way, and I'm so thankful you were the one that abused me and that my pain came from you rather than what I just saw on the streets in India. That's the truth. See, you would get freaked out and you'd wake up out of this little world you're living in that you're the only one that's being tormented and you're so hurt and you've been treated so bad. Yes, I know, brother. I know what it's like to feel bad. But I also have traveled the world now and I've seen you and I have it so much better than we could ever even imagine. You have a lot to be thankful for. Thank God that you have an email account. You can reach out to somebody. You have ears to hear, that you can actually listen to somebody speak the truth in the Word of God, that you can have a conversation with somebody, that you can have a Bible that you can read, that you can get on your knees in prayer, that you have clean air to breathe. You have clean water. You have a toilet you can use today. Give God thanks for the little things. Begin to thank him. Look in your life. What is it you can be thankful for? You're getting a message right now from a guy that thousands of people around the world would love to get a message from. And I can't. I can't do this for everybody. And I won't let you depend upon me either, Cameron. You have to cry out to God. You want God's help? You got to cry out to God. That's what I'm telling you. You have to get on your knees and do business and have him tell you what is going on. And you're reading that Bible. You got to be in that Bible seeing, Jesus says, I'm going to be tormented if I don't forgive. Jesus says, unless I become like a little child, I can't go to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, I have to be poor in spirit. I have to be merciful. I have to mourn. I have to be a peacemaker. Jesus says, I can't look at pornography. Jesus said, I can't lust. Jesus said all these things. I need his help. That's the only way. The only way you get peace is to put his teachings into practice. There is no other way, my friend. Okay? So I've told you, I think I made you a long recording before. If you want to know God, you've been listening to my messages. The key is this, just as Paul said, whatever you have seen or heard in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Listening to my videos is not going to help you. You are proof that listening to my videos will not do anything to help you. Okay? Because you've been listening, like I say, 6 months and nothing has changed. Doing what I say in the videos, which is God's word, or practicing what I have practiced in my own life as a biblical principle, is the only thing that's going to provide you any relief, Cameron. I hope you see that. Now look, I've prayed for you this morning, okay? I'm just telling you the truth, how this is. Stop feeling sorry for yourself, man. That self-pity thing will send you to hell, okay? I'm telling you again, 72 hours in India would change your life and you would never dare speak about you having been abused, having been emotionally tormented or whatever. 72 hours in India would rock your world. It would pull the rug right out from underneath you. It would terrify you. You would be so afraid. It would absolutely terrify you to be dropped off in India. Okay? Where there's demon-possessed people walking all over the place. And there's false gods everywhere and everything's trash and the filth is everywhere and the smoke that comes up from people burning is everywhere. And you don't look or sound like anybody. You can't speak their language. You don't look like them. You don't dress like them. You don't sound like them. You're the only one like them. You know nothing. I do pray God blesses you, but you have a part to play. You have a responsibility, okay? I'm going to say it again. You need to focus on forgiveness. I think you have an unforgiveness issue. And no matter how much you try to obey, you'll never be able to obey or find God's help if you are not forgiving those who have hurt you. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." The people that were hanging him on the cross. Okay? You can do the same thing to those who have put you on your cross, as you call it. And then you can be just like Jesus, loving, forgiving others in spite of the fact that they don't deserve it. Okay? I'm going to send your book to you today. May God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name.